Thanks, Bruce. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all, and we are so grateful to have Alan and Barbara, our dear and precious friends from many years. Alan has come to bring the message for us today on a true disciple. But first of all, Bruce and I met with our dear Minister Bruce yesterday, and we said, how would you like us to pray for you? And he said, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to glory. And would you pray that in the waiting, really, that I guess that it's not too long for him. And also, let's say pain-free and not difficult. May he enjoy his last days here. We don't know how long it'll be, but that's his desire, is that's how we pray. So I'm going to pray in a moment, but we also want to acknowledge that Jean Stewart is still in hospital and keeps calling out and wanting out in a beautiful Scottish accent. And so we want to pray for that too. So I know there's many that need prayers, but I think we'll focus first thing this morning on Bruce and Stuart. Oh, Lord, thank you for family. Thank you for the family here. And thank you that you are with Bruce and with Eunice. Lord, we know that Bruce's desire is to be with you. He's been a faithful servant of yours all these years, and now he's ready to come home. So, Lord, thank you for him. And we pray for Eunice as she sits alongside him. Give her strength, Lord. We don't know when it will be. We don't know how soon or not that it will be. But Lord, you say in your word that our days are ordained for us. And you know exactly when it will be. So we pray, Lord, that he will be pain-free. He will be relaxed. Lord, yes, just give him peace, Lord. Give him peace. And when the time comes, may he go peacefully, Lord. And again, strength for Eunice at that time. So we thank you for him. We thank you for all he means to this church. It's been over 20 years now. Lord, thank you for all that he's done in this place. And Lord, I know there'll be other times to be saying this, but we just want to say that now. And thank you that you are here with us, our Father of this family. So thank you, Jesus. We lift our prayers in your precious name. Amen. And Lord, we do pray for Stuart. And Lord, it just seems that when he goes into hospital, even though everyone else is thinking he should be home, he's still there. So Lord, let there be good news tomorrow about him coming home. And we pray for Jean too, as she is waiting for him to return. So we thank you for both Bruce and their wonderful faith. So thank you, Jesus. This precious time together. As we come now, Lord, to lift your name in spirit and in truth.
Lord, we love to worship you. So thank you, Lord, that we can be here in this wonderful place. Thank you, there's so many of us here today. And thank you that you always come before us and prepare the ground. We pray for all those who may come later and sit across the banister. But are still part of us in their way. And we pray that many will come to know you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So I know we're starting with Jean and Sarah's favourites. So we're going to sing, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, your power throughout the universe displayed. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're in each and every one of us, dwelling in us through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we're doing things a bit differently today. And last week, our theme was Be Still. Barbara's laughing. Thinking of me being still. But we talked about, I'm just doing a recap, I'm not redoing it. We talked about being in silence, in the waiting, listening, resting, finding peace, peace in turmoil. And I thought, well, we should practice what we preach. And so this week, I have been trying to, encouraged by another brother, to sit quietly, not even with worship songs in the background. Just hear the birds singing sweetly outside. It was too cold to open the patio. But I think it's something we need to practice at, because someday, wow, why haven't I done this more often? And then this morning, I was trying to find peace in the turmoil. But it's just been a beautiful time of being still. And I do have lots of long times with the Lord, but it'd be more worship music, reading the word. And that's all good, but sometimes we just need to be still. So we were visiting friends the other evening, and they were sharing that their church are doing Ecclesiastes. And I said, oh, Ecclesiastes 5, yes, let your words be few. how apt. And then the next day, Robert's always on, I don't go on Facebook, but Robert does, on Monday. And he discovered that our old pastor started doing a daily reading. And guess what? The daily reading was Ecclesiastes 5, and it was all about prayer, and it was all about let your words be few. So, I'm going to let my words be few and just read that scripture before we move on. I left my Old Testament Bible behind, but the new one was in my handbag, so I thought, well, I'll just do a screenshot and put it inside the I'm not ready for phones. So, Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 and 2. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. Amen. And of course there's that wonderful Matt Redman song, but we didn't have time to put that in. So what I thought would be good to do this morning, as we started with our, if you like, intercessory prayer, particularly of Bruce and Stuart, I thought we would just have a little quiet, but then it would be lovely if those who feel comfortable or inside to just call out one line to the Lord to give him thanks for who he is and what he's done for us. So it's different for us, I know. It just seemed the right thing to do, to give him the glory. We need to always put him first. So let's just have a moment's silence first. Almighty. Almighty God, and we give you thanks and praise in all circumstances. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for every one of us.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for coming into the world and dying for my sins, Lord, and rising again. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to add to our prayers, Lord. Thanks for Bruce. Lord, that he's run the race well. Lord, we just think of Paul's words when he said, I'd rather be at home with the Lord, absent from the body and at home with the Lord. And that's Bruce's desire at this time. And we know, Lord, there's going to be a reward for him there, a great reward. So, Lord, we just pray in your perfect timing, and in your painless way, we ask you, Lord, just lead Bruce to that point where he sees you face to face and receives that wonderful, well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd just like to say a prayer for my wife. She's finding it very hard because of Dad. She was crying her heart out last night. I can only feel that I can be there and hold her through this time. She's not finding it easy. Dad has been like a dad to her. And that's special to her. So uphold her, please, Lord, and take away any pain that she's feeling right now. Because I know she's feeling it, big pain, because I'm feeling it too. Just hold us together and keep us together in your beautiful name. Amen.
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 Keep them all strong, Lord, and thank you that you are the one who gives us our strength. And we love to worship you, and we're going to go into our next worship song, which is I Will Worship. which is going to bring our reading for us this morning.
Thank you.
Well done.
The readings from Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels."
Amen. So I'm going to sing, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily."
I'm trying.
So we invite Alan to come and bring the word for us. And we're so glad he's here. We didn't know what today was going to bring.
We'll see how you feel about that after I've spoken, whether you're glad. Ah, lovely. It is lovely to be with you. We've always enjoyed joining you at the Christmas carol service. That's really been good. And it's great. And I said to Barbara this morning, do you know, this is the shortest we've had to walk to church, because we live in Barnow Close, just 500 yards up the road. So that was just great. But we couldn't use the excuse that we were late because of traffic, could we? There you are. No, it's lovely to be with you. And when I was, it was suggested to me that I might talk on the subject of a true disciple. I thought to myself, my goodness, that's a real task. Because, you know, you could talk on that subject probably for 6 months, you know, 4 minutes every sermon. You really could. But, you know, I think the Lord's given me a hint this morning. He said, let your words be few. Didn't he? So I shall try and keep them short. But we'll see where we go. those words that we read from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 8, they are challenging. When the Lord says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And he says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory. It seems like there's a paradox, sort of like two equal truths. One, that we are amazingly saved by grace, and I thank God for that, because I don't deserve to have been saved. I don't know whether anyone else here feels the same. I hope you do. But I don't deserve to be saved. But the other side of it is that it's, and that salvation is totally free. But then the other side of it is that there is a cost to being a disciple. And I liken it a little bit like to joining the army. You know, you can join the army, it doesn't cost you a thing. You know, you could just enlist and join the army. But it could cost you everything in serving the king. So maybe there's a similarity there. Now, I did notice that the title that was given to me was A True Disciple, not The True Disciple. And there's actually a subtle difference there, because if I had to talk on The True Disciple, I'd have to go through all of the many things that we as disciples should have as a mark that we are different to the world. And I'm not going to do that, you'll be pleased to hear. But I have got some notes for you on that. So at the end, you can take them away and you can have a look at what being a true disciple means. What I did see in that title, A True Disciple, is that I could talk about someone who was a true disciple in this wonderful word of God. Bear with me, I do get dry. Ever since I've got dentures, I get dry. It's true. I don't know why, but I do. Anyway, that's part of growing old. But hallelujah. Paul said, this earthly body is wearing out, but I'm being inwardly renewed day by day. Amen. So I thought, and actually I felt that this morning I would talk about one of Jesus' disciples. Now you could think, oh, is he going to talk about Peter? Is he going to talk about John? I'm actually going to talk about Thomas. I'm going to talk about Thomas. And I'm going to hopefully show you that through Thomas's life and his devotion to Jesus, that he did exemplify these things that we've talked about denying yourself and not being ashamed, owning Jesus as Lord. And I'm going to begin in John chapter 11, where Jesus heard that his beloved friend Lazarus was sick. And when he first heard that news, he said to the disciples, this sickness will not end in death. He knew what he was going to do. But he waited 2 days. And at the end of that 2 days, he said, right, now is the time for us to go. And I'm glad that I wasn't there, because I want to tell you he's now dead. But this will be for God's glory when we get there. Now, the background to that was that shortly before that, he'd been at the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, where he had declared, I and the Father are one. And because of that, the Jews wanted to stone him. So his life was in danger, really in danger. And yet here now he is saying, let's go back to near to that same place, because he'd gone further away at that point, realizing his time wasn't yet ready yet. Let's go back to that same place where actually our lives will be in danger. That's in effect what he was saying. And Thomas knew that there was a real risk, because of his association with Jesus, of being stoned himself. And yet we read that it says, then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. What devotion. What willingness to commit his life into Jesus' hands, to so see him as his loving Lord that he was not prepared. I mean, we don't know much about Thomas from the other Gospels. All we know is that he's one of his disciples. We don't know what his profession was. We don't know what his background, where he lived. But he could have said, I'm off. I'm back. I'm going back to my job. I don't want to go there. There's a risk. But he was prepared to go and deny himself. Do you hear me? He was prepared to deny his own right to life to follow Jesus wherever Jesus went. Praise God for that. My friend Bob Beer, ever since the Ukraine war, in fact from before, has been going into Ukraine on his own at times and with his wife at times, taking in food, taking in money to help people in Ukraine. And he's been putting his life at risk in doing that. But he felt God's call. He felt Jesus call him to do that. And so he's going in and he's doing what he can. And I just wonder this morning, is God calling you? Maybe even this morning through what I'm sharing, he will call you to just step up and do something that is more of a risk for him. Would you be prepared to do that? Do you love him like Thomas loved him so much? Moving on in the story of Thomas, we then learn in Gospel of John that Jesus said the night before he was crucified, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Do you know, Thomas's heart must have fallen at that point. Lord, you're going away. Where are you going, Lord? Lord, I love you. I want to be with you. I want to walk to you. I said I'll even go to you to die. And so he is recorded as the one who speaks up when Jesus says, you know the way where I'm going. Thomas says, Jesus. Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Can you hear in that sort of like a desperation in his heart? Lord, you're going. We want to make sure we go with you, but we don't know the way. And of course, Jesus then says, well, actually, it's not about sat-nav, location, geography. It's about me. I am the way. I am the truth. Oh, do we have that love for Jesus? That we just want to follow him. That we want to surrender all. It's so easy, isn't it, to sing those words. But it's another matter, isn't it, to really, really surrender and to do his will. Of course, when Jesus shared that he was going to have to die, Peter rebuked him. He said, no, Lord, no, Lord. Jesus said this. He said, Peter, you've got in mind the things of the world, not the things of God. And there's a real thing, I want to come to it in a little bit, about how our minds can be changed from the things of the world to the things of God. I'm sure your hearts, your minds are already changing in that direction as you are part of church, as you listen to God's word. But he really wants your heart and mind to be centered on God's will, as was Thomas's. And then, of course, we come to the more famous experience of Thomas, where the disciples say to him, after that wonderful resurrection day, when Jesus has risen from the dead, and he comes and he says, and they say to him, he came to us, he came to us, we've seen him, we've seen the Lord. That first Sunday resurrection evening, we've seen him. And of course we know that Thomas says, unless I put my hands in his side, unless I put my fingers in his nail prints, I will not believe it. You know, I think he gets bad press for that. I think Thomas gets bad press for that. But I think he was overcome with grief because he loved Jesus so much. He was hit with loss. And you know, we all know, when we are hit through loss, when we've lost a real loved one, how we grieve in that sense, in that time. But Jesus can meet us even there. And he met Thomas. He chose a week later to deliberately, specifically come for his loved disciple Thomas to reveal himself to him. It's a wonderful thing when Jesus reveals himself. You see, I was saved at the age of 14 in a Baptist church in Southwest London. At the age of 14, I was baptized. I believed that Jesus died for my sins, and I received him as my Savior. Hallelujah. And that is the fundamental starting point, isn't it, into the Christian life, of knowing that Jesus died for our sins and receiving him as our Savior. But I have to confess to you that I didn't really know him as risen Lord. There weren't things that had happened in my life that made me so clearly aware that he was alive. Until 18 years later. There was a lot went on in between, which is another story. But 18 years later, I found myself, and this was the Lord, it was not of me, believe me, I found myself managing the Open Scroll Christian Bookshop in Palace Avenue in Paignton. All right, there was a Christian bookshop there many years ago, and the opportunity arose, and somehow I ended up in there. I knew nothing about Christian books. You know, someone came in one day, a couple actually, and they said, do you know, have you got any books on charismatics? And I said, charis what? And they said, it's about the Holy Spirit. So I said, oh, there is a section over here on the Holy Spirit. So, but, you know, that's where I was. But one day a lady came in, and she walked around the shop, and she found a book, and she came over to the counter, and she was bubbly. She's a bit like Jilly, you know, on on Duracell batteries, you know. She was bubbly. And I said to her, I said, you're bubbly today. You know, what's with you today? And she said to me, a number of years ago, I was in a car accident and I broke my arm in three places. And I've never been able to lift it up higher than that. But last night, Jesus healed me. And I stepped back from the counter a bit because I hadn't been faced with this before. For me, in a sense, Jesus was a historical Jesus, not a Jesus who is alive today, healing people, touching people, setting people free. And how wonderful when that happens. Very quickly, a story that I will share with you about my own son. My own son came home at the age of 10 with a letter from school, and it said, "Your son is showing signs of exhaustion and difficulty breathing in PE, and we recommend that you take him to the doctor and get him checked out." So we took Stephen, 10 years old, to the doctor. The doctor tested him, checked him out, and said, "I'm sorry to have to tell you, but he's got asthma. And I will prescribe a, you know, inhaler for him." Anyway, we got home, and at this time, I had only just previously been baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was on fire for Jesus. I hope I've still got a little flame there. Anyway, I said to Stephen, "We're not going to accept this. I'm going to pray for you." So I prayed for Stephen. I asked Jesus, "Please, Lord, will you heal Stephen now?" And then after that, I remembered that Jesus, sometimes when he prayed for people, he said, "Now do something that you can't do," like before, like the blind man. He sent the blind man off to wash his eyes. And I thought, "Stephen, I'm going to ask you to race me round the block. Okay, remember, all right, a little bit of exercise," and he's losing his breath. So we went out the front door, okay, and I said, "Right, we're going to race around the block, let's see how we get on." And I ran, and he ran, and I saw his heels. I saw him turn round the end. I saw him, and I get to the end. This is on Roselands. I turn the corner, he's gone. When I get back, it's me that's going, he was sat on the doorstep, not, you know, just breathing normally. Stephen has just come back this week from Crete. He is the national president of the United Kingdom Taekwondo Association. He can leap into the air 5 feet with one of these kicks. Listen, there was no way he could have done that if he'd have lived on in life with asthma. Jesus is alive. All right? Jesus is alive. So I just thank God for that revelation to Thomas, that he revealed the truth that he is alive. And that must have just bolstered Thomas so much. Then finally, I just want to share this, that that Thomas was present on the day of Pentecost. He'd come through Good Friday. He'd seen Jesus alive, so now he was in Easter Sunday. But Jesus wanted his disciples, he wants us to be in the day of Pentecost too, because we've been singing about the Holy Spirit. He was with the 12 because Matthias had replaced Judas on the day of Pentecost. He was in the upper room when the wind came from heaven. He was in the room when tongues of fire touched him. We sang about the flame of fire in that last song. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he spoke in other tongues. His mind at that point would have been changed from worldly thinking to heavenly thinking. And that's what happens when we get filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says there, when the people that came and attracted by the crowd said, "Well, these lot, you know, what's going on here? Some of them are drunk." Peter stood up, it says Peter stood up to present the first gospel message and to defend what had happened, that God had poured out the Holy Spirit on these disciples. It says, then Peter stood up with the 11. Thomas stood up with him. Thomas stood up. The one that actually, along with Peter, had run away at Jesus' crucifixion, now filled with the Holy Spirit, stood up. And that's what the indwelling of the Holy Spirit can do for us when we are filled. In my notes here about the marks of a disciple, you'll see there's lots of things which you'll think, and I know and I believe it for myself, Lord, how can I live like that? How can I dwell in your word, hear you so regularly, obey you? How can I do all these things? How can I lay my life down for you? The fact of the matter is, it's the indwelling and the power of the Holy Spirit, when we truly are filled with the Spirit, that brings about that change and makes you a true disciple. I said I'd my words would be few, but I just want to finish with this, if I may. At the age of 32, when those two people came in and said, do you know about charismatics? They began to tell me about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I knew nothing about that. I knew about the Holy Spirit. I loved Jesus. I knew about the Father. But I really didn't know much about the Holy Spirit. And one evening I was in their bedsit. They lived in a little bedsit at that time. And they asked me, Alan, you may be a manager in the Christian bookshop, but have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, I don't know. Sometimes I just think I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And they said to me, no, you will know when you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so I said, well, in that case, I can't have been. And they said, would you like to be? And I'd read in my Bible, I'd read about how the first Christians had really been changed by this blessing of being filled with the Spirit. And I said, yes, I would. And they said, get down on your knees. I got down on my knees. And they said, A, B, C. Ask, believe, confess. So they said, ask Jesus. Don't ask the Father. Jesus, the risen Jesus, is the one who gives the blessing of the Holy Spirit. So I'm asking Jesus, Jesus, please baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to be bold like these two. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking, and then they said, believe. Mark, in Mark 11:24 says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. So I thought, well, I can't feel anything, but I must believe that I've received it. So I started thanking Jesus. And then they said, now confess with your mouth whatever you have in your mind. And I had one syllable in my mind. Ah. Now, all my life, from a child, I'd always spoken intelligently. But now I was being asked to trust God and speak out just something I didn't really know what it meant. Ah. So I started saying, ah, 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 in faith. And then a second syllable came to me, and it was bah. And now I sounded like a lamb. I did. Bah, bah, bah. But something just led me to put the two together. And I was going, Abba, 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 Abba. Father, Hebrew, Daddy God, Abba. I didn't know what it was, but I was crying out to God, Abba, Abba, Father, Abba. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we cry Abba to God by the Holy Spirit. And then I found that I started to speak in a language which I had not learned. And it was just, and I had to get off my knees. My hands were lifting up and I was praising God. And I was just filled with the Holy Spirit. That night, I can't remember driving home at all. I cannot remember. What I do remember is when I got in, because Barbara wasn't with me, and I went up to the bedroom, she hid under the bedclothes because she thought I was drunk. Do you remember what they said? They thought they were drunk. The day before that happened, or during the day before that happened, if you'd have asked me to talk or share about Jesus, to speak to a stranger about Jesus, or, it wasn't there. The next day, I'm saying to people in the shop, "Do you really know Jesus? Are you filled with the Spirit? He loves you. Do you know he's alive?" It was just there. And Jesus wants us to be in that place where we can lay down our lives for him. The day before, I probably would have been, to be honest, somewhat ashamed. Will I get criticism? Will people ridicule me for believing in Jesus? The day after, no problem, not ashamed whatsoever, prepared to die for him. But I'm no one special. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And as I bring this message to you today, remember the disciples 2,000 years ago were waiting. Easter's gone, they're waiting for Pentecost. My message to you today as a church, God wants to use you powerfully. Many of you may be thinking, well, I'm getting on in years. I'm 79, all right? And I'm getting on in years. But God still wants to use us, and he can use us in many different ways. But he wants you all to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that it's not an effort, but that it's something that is naturally just happening from within you. So I put to you this question today. Are you ashamed to speak up for Jesus? I'm sure many of you are not, and you're prepared to do what you can. But I do put it to you because Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me in this sinful generation, then I will be ashamed of you when I come back with my holy angels. So I'm going to put a challenge to you today, particularly those of you who have a car. Because some time ago, I felt the Lord really lay this on my heart, that he wanted to see people driving around in Torbay with that on his car. And do you know, since that, we've got a lady now called Mavis, a lovely black lady, lovely sister, and the Lord's laid it on her heart. This is her ministry. All she does now is goes around and encourages Christians to put this on their car. Now, I want to tell you, this is where you have to die to yourself. Because if you've got one of these on your car, you've got to start driving properly. All right? No speeding. But it's a challenge I'm giving to you. You know, are you prepared to say, I am prepared in this very simple way to nail my colours to the mask and say, I am a follower of Jesus, by sticking one of these on the back of your car? All right? Are you? Because I'm offering them to you right now. All right? Let me just give them out, because sometimes I found that people forget at the end. Is that all right? Go for it. It's got a sticky on the back there. Anyone else with a car here? Come on. Good man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Bless you. Can you imagine if people driving around see these on loads of cars? Yes. All right. Okay. All right. So, I just close with a prayer from my point of view. Father, thank you so much that you sent your son Jesus not only to die but to rise again and now be exalted in heaven, from where he pours out the Holy Spirit on those who ask him. My prayer, Lord, is that this church, as it goes forward, that you will be the pastor, you will be the leader through whoever leads and whoever speaks, and that this church will begin to grow more powerfully than all of the days past through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
So Bruce says we can fit both songs in, and as long as we all congregate out there to chat afterwards, and he and Robert can tidy up. And I got that this week about putting a fish back on my car. Literally this week, same thing. Amazing. It was because we had two that wouldn't stick, and then I gave up. Try again. Oh, thank you, Alan, for all that you shared, and we hope that Alan is coming back to us on the 31st of May, maybe to continue what he started today. It will be the week following Pentecost, that is it. So, this is actually one of Bruce's favourite songs, you all know. He often chooses this, and I often choose it. So. And I didn't know what I was going to be asked to share this morning, so I'm so glad that we've got this in here. So, without any further ado, I will offer my life in spirit and truth.
Surrender, I must give.
your little owl? You'll love this one. So, are we ready? We're going to sing this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. And I think that's what we're being asked to do. Not just in here.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah!
I love it.
Right, we promised Bruce we're going to talk out here.